Hello, greetings, and welcome to the Beyond Earth show. I'm your host, Ray Trujillo, and thank you for joining me today on this beautiful transmission for May 4th, the year 2024. And I hope all of you have been living your most magical and most empowered life so far, and continue to do so in time and space. And so I wanted to, for anyone that's new, any new subscribers or any new audience members, I wanted to just remind everyone that the Beyond Earth show is a show for everyone of all walks of life and all paths of spirituality, path of Jesus Christ, the path of universalness, celestial wisdom, the power of love. And if the religion is love, then so be it, right? And so this is respective to all cultures and belief systems and non-belief systems, but this is a show for everyone. And I decided to touch a bit more upon the consciousness of ourselves, adaptability in the changing tides of this realm, this world, this third dimension, this reality that we all coexist upon. And today's topics will be intermittently woven throughout with certain themes that are consistent with these, let's say, modifications, changes, adaptations to what we are currently embracing as far as transformation is concerned. All of us are going through our own metamorphosis every day, every week, every month, every year, throughout different times and phases of our lives. Yet, especially right now, there is much of a common denominator of transformation in the sense of transcending from the previous, transcending from the past, transcending from fears and the old paradigm of ourself. And so we may be conscious of it, and we also may have an attunement to that higher stream of consciousness. And also we may have the subtleties in our subconscious selves. And so when we converge and we work with the duality and the hermetic dictum, as above, so below, as within, and so without, we invoke that light within us. We invoke that stream of that universal love, that universal consciousness of the divine, of God, of Jesus, of the Creator, of Buddha, of respective to your path. Yet in the essence, language is all synonymous with love, respect, and all things divine. So when we recognize that we are of the divine, that we emanate from the divine, our origin story is essentially from the divine. And then our epigenetic codes, our light codes, we can all have an agreement that we are not just mere flesh and bone. Yes, we are flesh and bone as a vehicle in our carne, in our corpus. Yet when we look within and we embrace the spirit of ourself, that we are a spirit in a body, and to paraphrase, as many of you may heard, that to be in this world but not of it, and that is from an adaptation from Jesus Christ's words himself, that we are essentially here to be spiritual bodies living in a dense world, in a dense reality, in a tangible realm. And so our spirit bodies, our spirit minds, our auric fields, our soul star, our Godhead, whatever you want to discern it as, describe it as, essentially it is the same. It is the most beautiful and most empowered aspect of our existence. Our spirit reigns supreme. And then when we complement that with the accessories of our mind and the logic of our mind, our rationale, our inherent aspects, and also what we've learned along the way and what we've learned along the way with lifetimes. And if you just want to believe in one lifetime, then so be it. But in this lifetime, what you have learned, what you've acquired in this particular realm thus far. And so at this present time, we just had at the end of April a full moon in Scorpio. And during lunations, there's so much change, of course. There's always a change whenever we're working with the elements, the sun, the moon, the star systems. And they're all part of God's creation, all part of the grand architect's creation, all part of the divine creator's masterpiece. And we're all in tune in such a way that is beyond description and what is beyond at times discernible. Yet we seek to explore, we seek to study, we seek to research, we seek to embody the life experience within ourselves and the observational reality of all around us, within ourselves and the reaction and the hyper response from ourselves, and also in the response from others as well. And we see ourselves in the collective. And when we confront on the collective aspect, we can't denounce that, yes, while this world is seemingly in a twilight zone, which I commonly refer to it as a twilight zone at times, there's also the kingdom of heaven here with us that we can individually bring and draw down literally the heavens and the stars to planet Earth for our fellow humans and our fellow creature kingdom. And so, whenever we have the duality, which is the way of life, and we have Murphy's Law, and we have all of these aspects and physics and supernatural constructs combined with physics and logic, things that define all that seems to be logic, there are so many components that are so mysterious yet so compelling. And some things that seem so abstract are acutely in the present moment what we see before our very eyes. And so we cannot help but to ascertain that we are part of the cyclic system. We are part of God's cycle, the universal cycle, the cosmic cycle, the lunar cycle, the solar cycle, the whole entire entity of planet Earth and the solar system is essentially in its own cycles and rhythms. And I speak a bit upon the pole shifts and the magnetosphere and solar flares and certain things that do affect us here. And when we're in this world and we're combating the obstructions that we face with spiritual warfare and also the inner war of our mind, that we may have our own emotional and internal turmoil and struggles, tumults, battles that we all have endured throughout our life. And some of you may be going through that right now. Some of you may have just ascended onward and upward out of a tumult. And some of you are in the midst of it right now. So for all of you, whether you've been through it and you've resurrected yourself, and you're in another cycle, or others that have really been able to survive the previous tumult, and you're in a place of higher ground, so to speak, and those of you that are presently in it for the first time or for the 100th time, this is especially speaking to all of you from the place of love, from the place of positive aspects and positive constructs, yet while not denying that the negative inferences and the transgressions that have occurred are a very tangible reality, yes, but it's what we can do with it and how we can transform from it. And so, regardless of what it may be that you're going through or that you survived through, this is especially a time to come from the place to invite yourself to be fear, non-fear oriented, I'd say, to be in the place where you're fear-based at times, to go to the place of that fear is not the reality, that fear is the illusion. And so I've mentioned this before, but fear being false evidence appearing real, the acronym for that. And that is essentially a very quick and, let's say, a rapid pocket style of an acronym to hold on to when you're in a moment, but when you're in the initial moment of being activated and fear is your confrontation. There could be fears of the unknown, fears of even freedom, where one can self-sabotage. Freedom is also at times not so familiar, and it can be uncomfortable for many people to have freedom and also to know that they can have possibilities because of perhaps a previous encounter of what pretended to be, and it failed. And so we all have our trials and tribulations, yet when we can develop the trust within ourselves, the faith within ourselves and God, a higher power, your guardian angels, a trust with source, that trust thereby increases and grows and exponentially. And it's no process. I mean, some, it could be miraculously, yes, miracles do exist. Yet be kind to yourself, be compassionate with yourself, because when you are confronting the illusion of fear, the aspects of fear, it can be crippling, devastating, and numbing. And we go to our adrenal system, we go to our fight or flight response, we freeze response, our feigning and our fawning response. And so we want to take accountability in the moments that we know how. And taking accountability starts with self-forgiveness, self-love, and that you can invite and invoke to release the fears that cause the prevention of your own personal freedom, the shackles and chains, the burdensomeness that prohibits your possibility from entering yourself, your field, to resonate within what you magnetize. And so when we go into, we can also talk about the laws of attraction, the laws of divinity, surplus, increase, and so forth. Yet one of the main proponents that does blockade from the laws of attraction is fear, self-limiting belief systems. And this is where conscious reconditioning is so highly imperative to take on and to absorb and to really practice. And yes, it can take a lot of discipline to get into a practice, but if you try not to overwhelm your system, anything is possible. And through God, through faith, through your angels, through the great divine, all things are possible. So when you look at the transits that are around us in our solar system and our cycles, you also look at the transits within yourself, within your feelings, and the ebb and the flow. Because daily and weekly, monthly, yearly, there's a constant state of metamorphosis. And sometimes it's very freeing, and sometimes it's also very frightening. And so this is why it's so paramount to confront with accountability the fear. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of success? Are you afraid of actually having what you really want? And why is that so? And just simple examples. Afraid of that, what will you do with the freedom that you've never had before? What will you do with the goal that you've wanted your whole life? Are you afraid that perhaps you may lose it or mess up? Common thoughts. When you encounter the aspect of the fear of unknown, even though it's something you want so much, but then you're afraid of what you will do once you receive it. And that is a common predicament for many people, with the fear of the unknown, even if it seems like something, well, what's to be so afraid of? To win the title, the award, to receive that scholarship, to receive first place, to receive and create that dream, whatever the dream may be. And oftentimes, the self-sabotage incurs because it is part of the negative aspect of survival, because much can come from success. And are you ready for success? And if you've sought success and it failed you, or you failed it, it's okay to try again. But that can be the blockade as well, that, oh, it didn't work out last time, so therefore it won't come to fruition this time. Well, that's the point, is that every chance, every day is the beginning of the rest of your life, that every new chance is essentially a brand new start, a brand new chance to resurrect that idea, to resurrect a new idea, to resurrect in your career or in the place of your personal goals, your emotional goals, your family goals, your spiritual goals, whatever it may be. And so when you look at the closure and the release of those limiting beliefs from others, from external sources, from family, from friends, from colleagues, perhaps, that told you can't do it, but also look at your voice. Is it self-limiting belief? So allow this sacred time, especially this year, because it is an intense year for everyone. And when you're aware of that and you take accountability of what your threshold is, what your limitation is, if you can push through it just a little bit more each day, then you can empower yourself even further and further to thereby take action and truly embrace your personal magic. And also, too, you want to be your own advocate, where if sometimes when we think of magic within ourselves and we think of our virtues, we think of our graces, we think of our internal construct of our orientation, attitudinally, emotionally, spiritually, pragmatically, there's also the notion of that, well, what if I don't do enough? What if I do too much? What if I burn out? Well, that's why you temper. So everything in moderation, but embrace the magic of yourself, embrace the virtues of yourself, and embrace the grace of all of those possibilities, and be in that grace for yourself. Be in the grace of your divinity. That is your inheritance. That's your inheritance from God, the Creator, that you all possess the kingdom of heaven within you, and no one can destroy it. You can destroy at times personally, but then you always have a chance to reorient and reconstitute, but you can never be destroyed. Even if you try to destroy, you can destroy yourself to a degree, but there's always another chance. There's always another chance, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you've been through. Give yourself another chance. Even if it's your 100th chance, you are allowed to invoke that. And so when we go into the places of, let's say, the laws of attraction, the laws of divinity, the laws of surplus, and we seek to enhance upon a goal, we have to start with the core self, that we are connected to the oneness, that we are essentially connected to all creation. And when you trust yourself, even if you've trusted yourself before, or you thought you trusted yourself before, there's a difference. When you truly, truly learn to trust yourself incrementally, you can absolutely change your paradigm, and you can invite the divinity of your spirit, of your soul, of your mind and your heart matrix to completely coalesce and align in a beautiful way. And you want to fortify and strengthen your core, and you want to also allow a cathartic release of anything that previously was an attachment to. So you want to work on your core beliefs, your core wounds, and also how you are so connected again to the trust in yourself, the trust in the divine, the trust in God, the trust in your spirit guides, your guardian angels, the galactic kingdom, the elemental kingdom, your origin story. And so when you embrace that and you delve further into those possibilities, then truly what can be impossible? So you want to consistently go within and integrate more of that illuminative path. And you also want to look at the places that you are finding yourself that you may lose a certain tolerance to some things, and also that you may be gaining simultaneously flexibility. And I'm not speaking of total agreeability to where you lose your voice, but more or less in the place of that you choose your battles and you have a higher of what previously may have caused you disdain. Let's just say the old adage of spilt milk. We've all had moments where, yes, dependent upon external circumstances and a myriad of moving pieces and transits and parts of a day or a week or a month, that the day that spilt milk did occur, and it just activated us. It just sent us into this hyper overdrive, and we were just spontaneously combusting right from milk. But then through other modes of dedication within the self, advancing your higher mind frequency, advancing your heart, mind, soul frequency, choosing your battles, looking at what's more important, what's more paramount, what's more significant, what bears more significance in this moment. So, where will you apply your energy? How should you apply your energy? And so it's a constant graduation to, again, like I'm saying, where the tolerance has a decrease in what you'll tolerate in the negative, but in the adaptability and also in the flexibility and in the expansion of the mind and the heart and the soul, where we can continuously contract when we're confronted with obstacles and negative inferences and the wrenches that are thrown in our third dimension at times. It can be a great deal where we can essentially have the crying river over spilt milk and making a mountain out of a molehill. So we've all experienced that. And as we go through more of the complexities and we surpass and transcend more of those uncertainties, and we navigate around, let's say, the ambiguousness of life, we go into the place of where we trust ourselves more and more, and we go into the place of mindfulness. We go into the place of the distractions, where, like the Buddhist mind, we quiet the mind, we empty the mind. So we go in that route. And the Buddhist principle of emptying the mind, the beginner's mind, that is when we must retreat and go within. Jesus Christ himself going through all of the tortures and the persecutions during his most tumultuous times, he would seek out to go and to pray in the garden. He would go and be in solitude and pray. And so we all, whatever our belief system is, we must find a time to elevate our consciousness, work with our subconscious to elevate that as well. And I know it sounds so much more simplified when I speak it, because I know when one is in an activated place, in a place of tumult, that it's not so easy. Yet when you practice these principles of meditation, prayer, and you affirm and you consciously recondition, and you have an attitudinal adjustment, it's like a muscle memory that the moment that something happens, that you may go to the negative mind initially, yes, but then you'll process, and the computer brain that literally has a filtration system, and then you go back into the heart, mind, soul matrix. And that's when you apply that, okay, I'm not going to cry over spilt milk, but this is not spilt milk now. This is something different, right? So you discern and you choose your battles. And so when you're assessing yourself and what you're looking at to attract into your life, the laws of magnetism, the laws of attraction, those are some places there that when you actually work with that trust of yourself and you work with the practice of those attitudinal adjustments, and that you're gearing more towards that strength and fortitude, and you'll have that cathartic closure. You will have more releasing aspects of those elements of defeat. Because when you go through defeating strategies, when you go through self-limiting thoughts, and if you go through self-degradation, it keeps you down, it suppresses you. So how can you thereby manifest or magnetize to yourself when you're in that state? So you want to always make sure that you look at the core of your vibrational state. And if you came to that moment, allow yourself to work toward that, even at a midpoint. And then you can start to work with that you are trusting yourself. Thereby, you are allowed to believe in yourself. Oh, and we have a caller. Be happy to take your call.
Hello. Hi, this is
Hi,
Dawn.
welcome
Is
to the
this
Beyond Earth
Beyond
Show.
on Earth? Great. Hi.
Yes,
I
welcome
was
to the Beyond Earth Show. It's a pleasure.
great. I've talked to you a long time ago, probably over a year ago. I'm a long-term subscriber and loyal listener, but I love what you say, what your message is, and so much of it has helped me grow and process things. And I wanted to call and ask you a question about self-talk today.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. And thank you for all your kind words. I'm so happy. And I do remember you. So, yeah, ask me any
Okay,
questions you'd like.
great.
That.
Well, so much of what you say every other week when it shows on resonates with me and really makes so much sense to me, and it helps me feel more connected. But I'm having trouble with my self-talk most recently. Because if I have a day that is particularly tough, and I know that what you think today creates your reality tomorrow. I totally
Yes.
believe in the law of attraction.
Yes.
And my negative, I'll have a day of some negative self-talk, and I worry that I've already sowed the seeds that are I'm going to have to, deal with what I created for the future. If I have some negative self-talk.
I see. So
So
you're concerned about, go ahead.
I want to know how to change that, how to shift that when you're concentrating or focusing on some bad thoughts, some
Of
loss or.
course. And yeah, no, and I'm here, and then I'm going to say some things to you, and then I want you to respond, and then because you'll probably have a question following that. So essentially, and this is a very good question because this applies to everyone, myself included, anyone who has a pulse on planet Earth that's living has gone through this. So we have so many thoughts, and we track our thoughts, and we have fleeting thoughts, and we have our negative fear-based mind. And then it's really hard to discern at times, is that the reality of my thought? Is that the illusion? And so we have a great deal of neurons in our prefrontal cortex and our cerebrum. I mean, there's so much in the brain that actually controls us. And I'm just going to say it in layman's terms, the computer mind, right? So the computer mind has a natural proclivity to keep us surviving, to keep us alive, to keep us from that saber-toothed tiger, right, in the past. But when we're in the place where anatomically, physiologically, in our inherent learned behavior, where we're trained to be in fear, we're trained to survive, this is where we must go into the place of if my negative thought that I'm trying to, let's say the self-talk, and I'm saying to myself, well, it didn't necessarily work out for me How am I going to do this? I'm in a lot of pain. How am I going to, you know, let's say that someone is injured. Okay. Let's say that somebody injured their knee. Okay. And they're in a place of pain in the physical body and the emotional body. And they feel very self-defeating and they feel limited already. So it's mind over matter, right? And I know it sounds so much simpler when I say it and when anyone says it than it is to actually do it. But this is when you say and you invoke the self-love and say, you know, I really deserve to feel better, or I deserve to have my goal. I deserve to have my bills paid. I deserve to walk really strong again, or I deserve to get that job that I really wanted, right? Or I deserve to have a good relationship with my, you know, my family or whatever, right? Whatever it may be. So those examples we can draw from, but it's also the place of where the mind remembers that something may not have worked out in the past. And it likes to hold on to that. It likes to have an attachment, unfortunately, to that as to, well, remember what happened last time? Remember what happened last time when you walked up the stairs, you know, in those high heels, in those boots? Remember that your boss didn't like that idea last time and then he took you off of the whole entire project? Or, you know, your sibling didn't like that you brought her the wrong flowers for her birthday? Whatever the example may be, your mind goes into overcautiousness. Okay, so now I'm going to prevent myself and limit myself as a cautionary tale. The mind gets attached, unfortunately, to, let's say, that semblance of that illusion. So you have to go into a place
like
of that happened
mode?
Before. Precisely, because it's survival. Your mind wants to keep you surviving and to keep you alive. So you go into a place there, and that's when you have to do literally your spirit over your mind. Because as long as you know that you have your safety belt on and that you have the lights on your car, and as long as you know you're not impaired, you're going to get from point A to point B safely, given that everyone else on the road is safe. But you have to be defensive, right? Being a defensive driver, right? Watching out for other drivers, even if you're going the perfect speed limit and practicing all of the traffic laws, right? But you know that your seatbelt is on and that you can see clearly and your visibility is clear and that you have your headlights on and everything. But you can't always rely on what other people do, right? So the mind goes there. The mind loves to go there to keep you surviving. So you want to work with your spirit. And you speak with your spirit, your inner spirit, your heart, and you go into the place of, well, I have faith that I will be okay. I have faith that if I want to go present to my boss this new idea, I'm going to go in it with an open mind and an open heart, even if he said no 1,000 times before. Perhaps today will be the day that my boss will say, actually, that's a perfect idea, and I love it. Let's do it. Right. But if you prohibit yourself because 100 times before it was a no, a decline, a rejection, or an injury happened, right? Or some negative occurrence occurred. Of course, the mind wants to keep you safe. So the self-talk is a very intense reality because when we have the outcomes real, when I say to my, if I were to say to myself, oh, I can never finish anything, guess what? I'm actually going to believe somewhere within my realm that I will never be able to finish anything because I actually told myself that and I believed it. So this is what you do. You transcend that. You name it. You can write down self-limiting thoughts, whatever it was, whatever it is, the self-talk. When you notice yourself saying, and I'm going to give myself examples for you and for everyone. Ray Ray, you can't finish anything. Why do you even try? So I would write that down as self-negative talk one.
Okay.
Ray Ray, you know, you make zero friends when you speak. You shouldn't talk at all. I'll write that down, right? And then number three, you organize a pantry if you're dependent on it. I'm just saying, right? Just little silly examples, right?
Mm-hmm.
You write down three things, whether they're on a gargantuan scale or even on a mini scale, whatever comes to the mind, because you're going to get a lot of the gargantuan and a lot of the minuscule types of self-talk.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at that, and you look, and you want to start with maybe 5 to 10, you know, just as a simplified practice. And then when you write down, let's say, Ray Ray, how I'd say that I can't seem to complete or finish anything, right? How true is that to me? Is it true on a scale of 1 to 10? True, like where number 10 being that it's the most true. Oh my goodness, Ray Ray really can't finish anything. Okay, that's something we have to work on. Or is it number 1 where actually I do finish a lot of things? That's just maybe a voice in my head, and then a voice of myself. Where did that voice come from? Where did that come from? An external voice? Did that come from a teacher, from a parent, from a family, from a neighbor, from a colleague, right? Where did that voice, you see how that goes? So then on, like, let's say number 2, that perhaps if I say on my list that Ray Ray, I never make any sense, right? I make 0 sense. So why bother speaking, right? So I could do the same, 1 to 10. How true do I believe it to be in this moment? And then you look, and then you look again. And if it continues to be at 10, where I believe I don't make any sense at all, then I really have to work on that, right? But if it's a 5, or if it's a 1, or if it's even a 7, you have to navigate through that and say, okay, that's true or it's not true. And then if it's like, I can't organize a pantry, and then you look at, okay, actually, I can organize a pantry. I do make sense when I speak, or I can finish topics. I can finish things, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
You want to just write down next to it and say, yes, I can make sense. Yes, I can organize a pantry. Yes, I do complete tasks. And then your brain, every time. Okay. Yeah, so every time your brain, even if it's true or if it's untrue, and then if you identify where it came from, if it was from a teacher in second grade who told me maybe like, oh, you didn't finish your school project, let's just pretend, right? Or someone who told me I can't finish a task. I go, oh, okay, that was so-and-so that said that to me, so I'm identifying the source. And then if you can't identify the source, that's also fine. But the key is that if you can actually look at the shift there, that the negative thought, the negative self-talk right before your eyes on the list, and then you create the new imposed, where you consciously recondition. This is where conscious recondition applies. It takes 21 days to truly consciously recondition the mind, and you can do it through different segments and topics and themes. And you know, this doesn't, it's not for every single thing in our life in 21 days, but the most important things, like on the top 5 list, right? So when you encounter yourself thinking a negative self-talk, I can't finish, I can't amount to anything, I can't organize a pantry, right? And then you say, actually, no, yes, I can. I just have to work on it, baby steps. You tell yourself, no, that's
right,
not true.
Right, statement, like?
Yes,
like,
yes.
Right in the
and
you're
statement. Right.
Yeah. Limiting thought.
Yes, you write
okay.
down a positive statement next to that self-limiting thought, and then you look at that, and then you look at the positive statement, and then you ask yourself again in the same formula, how much of this positive statement do I believe is true for myself? And even if it's a 1 where you don't believe it at all in that moment, you can write down a 1. And if you believe it all wholeheartedly at 10, okay, perfect. But it's often the time where the case can happen where when that new idea, the new precept of the mind, it's so natural for the mind to go to the negative old ways, the old patterns, right? So you have to give yourself permission gently and compassionately with self-love and faith in yourself and confidence in yourself. And even if it's like, let's just pretend, I'm going to say this, confidence. I don't have any confidence. I need to work on my confidence, right? Well, that's okay. We all have moments like that. And I'm going to use me as an example. So I'll say, I want to increase my confidence. So even if I can't just overnight become confident, I'm going to work on that incrementally, that be more confident. I'm allowing myself to be more confident. I'm allowing myself to receive more confidence, to fulfill my tasks, to organize the pantry, to make more sense when I speak, right? To do whatever it is that the goal is, that there's a previous proclivity to limitation, right? So you assign yourself and you look at that sentence, the positive statement, that is the antithesis of the negative, right? You go into and you look at that and you feel it. And then you tell yourself, you know what? I'm working on this. And, you know, a single step begins, you know, for a journey, right? A journey begins with one step. And this could be your single step with the journey. And you have to tell yourself that my journey begins with a single step. And I'm taking a single step with my new paradigm of my new mind. And I'm being very gentle and very loving with myself all at the same time. And I am giving myself room for error. I'm giving myself room to practice, room for improvement, so I don't burn myself out with this, because that can happen. That's why we have to temper in moderation, right? So we go into the place of applicating and modulating with that conscious reconditioning, to where every day you say, every day I'm getting better and better. Every day I'm getting more confidence. Every day I'm getting more faith and trust in myself. And then you actually start to believe it more and more and more. And then let's just say on the 21st day, okay, literally on the 21st day, if you do this every day for 21 days, and if you miss a day or so, fine, you know, just saying hypothetically, but 21 days where you're just saying, yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. And that's all you have to say. Sometimes it's just so simple as that. Yes, I'm working on believing myself. That's okay. If I fall down today, I can get back up. If I couldn't finish that today, I can finish. I can work on finishing it tomorrow. Every day is going to get better. Your mind and your spirit.
Like when you talked about a fresh start, you know, every day is another chance to
beginning of the rest of your life.
Yeah. I like what you said. That really resonated with me. And I try and apply that for sure. I've learned a lot through your show. So I definitely want to thank you for answering my question. And
you're so welcome.
It was so good.
You're actually bringing up a perfect topic that actually is what everyone can hear. Everyone can utilize this, even whatever stage that they're at or whatever they're going through. It's always a good reminder, too, for myself included, right? So it's because you see it around us in our daily lives and ourselves. Every single day we go through something new, a new challenge, something new to confront within ourselves. And so you just... In closing for that particular question, you just want to train the mind and allow the mind to receive that. And then you work with your heart and spirit, and that you will start to believe that to be true for you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm definitely going to work on those things. And I'm still hopeful that I'll be able to do that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, and then just before we say goodbye, is believing in myself. I believe in me no matter what. I believe in myself, and I believe in my higher self. My higher self leads me through.
Great.
Thank you so much for your call, and thank you for your kind words. And call thank anytime. You. And good luck with your next 21 days of conscious reconditioning and positive implementation.
Thank you. Have a great day. And I'll listen to the rest of the show and can't wait for your next one.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Appreciated. Have a beautiful day. Bye. So thank you everyone for participating. And as always, I enjoy calls and I appreciate calls, and I'm always happy to help with any questions that one may have. And so the caller brought up a very, very imperative and profound question that we all go through, no matter what in our life. And so replenishing the mind and the peace of the mind. And so some things that I would like to add, especially that can speak to the caller and everyone else, is that when we do go through the patterns and the transits of ourself, we go through the previous places that we've encountered of, let's say, a downtrodden time or a place of rejection or a place of where we were unfulfilled, where we were abandoned, where we were, let's say, we could even say, just so disappointed with the outcome, right? Well, of course, it's hard to resurrect the self from those previous places where the defeating mechanisms really like to rule us, right? But this is where every day is a new beginning. Every day in the mind and the heart and the spirit is a chance for renewal, a chance for replenishment, regeneration, and also to transcend those previous obstacles, right? You'll hear people that had so much tenacity that they are doing the impossible, the unthinkable, the previously unthinkable. They were told no by everybody. They were rejected by everyone. They were told by countless people, oh, that can never happen for you. But guess what? Within the spirit of the self, and then the custody of the mind, where the spirit and the mind and the heart work together in a very beautiful place that does take time to create that. And once you create that, it just starts to build and build and build like a muscle. But just hearing the words that you are allowed to believe in yourself, you are allowed to give yourself permission to believe in yourself. And then you can transcend the negative self-talk that we all have. We all have the negative self-talk. And so when we go through those moments in our life and we go through those places, and then we allow that receptacle to be where we can outpicture the negative thought, and then we can outpicture our reality that we wish for, we do a comparison contrast. And what feels more familiar? And if you're more inclined to where it was a negative because you've been through so much, then it's where you have to dig down deeper to really say, I allow myself permission to receive new paradigms of my life, new perceptions in my life, even if it's incrementally on a microcosm scale. Because eventually, if we start to stitch and to sew one fabric at a time, eventually we'll have a quilt, right? Eventually we'll have a beautiful interwoven quilt. But a journey starts with a single step, correct? So even if you have traversed the Sahara with your camel so many times, and you encounter mirages, these illusions, and then just get let down. But eventually, though, if you leave the will, the resolution, that magic aspect of yourself and the law of attraction, the law of magnetism, it starts to transcend through those previous negative self-talks to where, oh, that's a mirage, because I'm encountering mirage after mirage after mirage. When is my win going to happen? And then when you orient yourself with that attitudinal adjustment, you start to see the divinity drawing forth to you. You draw it in, you compel it, you will it to you. And then the most unthinkable positive things can happen. Sometimes it's letting go of the attachments to that a negative outcome will happen, because every time I traversed this journey, it was just nonstop mirages and nothing good happened, right? Well, this time around, the next time will not be a mirage. It will be an actual tangible, beautiful abyss, a beautiful enclave of fresh water, let's say. So you want to give yourself credit. You want to believe in yourself and give yourself the benefit of the doubt, because you, at the end of the day, you are all you have besides God and the universe, your spirit guides, the kingdom. But at the end of the day, you and your highest self are your own best friend. And if you can befriend your shadow self, the subconscious self that's always there, then you can truly master your destiny. And that is when you can invoke all of the natural wonders of your system and of your own inner transits to come through for you. And I wanted to thank you for being here, and thank you also for your call today. And make the most of it. Everyone, maybe let's try to consciously recondition and to reorient ourselves to the new paradigm of ourselves and believe in ourselves a little bit more each and every day. And remember that you are all loved in the unconditional divine love of God and the universal realms above you and above and beyond. And I wish all of you the most beautiful weekend, and I thank you all for joining the Beyond Earth show. It has been a pleasure and an honor. I am your host, Ray Trujillo, and have a magical, magical 2 weeks ahead. Thank you. Bye.